In this shiur for Parshas Kedoshim, I would like to study the hashkafa of Bechukoseim Lo Telechu. This is a theme that repeats itself both in Achrimos and Kedoshim. Very often those two parshias overlap. This year they don't. In Parshas Achrimos, Perek Yud Ches, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Limor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Ve'amarta Lehem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtim Bo, Lo Sasu, Kemais Eretz Kenan, Asher Ani Miveyizchem Shama, Lo Sasu, B'chukoseyem, Lo Seilechu. The Torah tells us in a negative way, avoid imitating Eretz Mitzrayim, the Mice of Eretz Mitzrayim, the Mice of Eretz Canaan, and then in a positive way, the Torah continues, as Mishpatai Tasu, as Glukosai Tishmoru, Lo Leches Bahem. The Torah commands us to go in a different way, in a different path, Shmartim, as Glukosai Mishpatai, and Vachai Bahem, and that gives you life. In Parshas Kedoshim, Velo Selchu Bechukas Hagoy Asher Ani Mishalech Mipneichem. Once again, the Torah reiterates, don't imitate the Goyim. You are in the Golus, you're surrounded, and you might be tempted to be influenced by them. You're breathing the air of that culture. Don't do so. And it's interesting that the Ramban touches on the fact that Kedoshim Tiyu is not telling us to avoid anything that's prohibited according to the strict letter of the law. The Torah says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hivdalti eschem min ha'amim." There's a havdalah, there's a separation, there's a fundamental difference between the nations of the world and the Jewish nation. And the Ramban says the Kedoshim Tiyu means that even though the Torah has commanded you from arayos, machalos asuros, but yet a person could avoid all those averos. The Torah, after all, was matir, bir, ish v'ishto, achilus basar v'yayin, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So when Cain says the Ramban, the famous Ramban in his introduction to the Kedoshim, ma yimtza bal taiva mokom lios shotuv bezimas ishto noshim harbos, harabos, lios basar v'yayin zolei basar, a person can find himself within the letter of the law, without violating the strict law, and yet he's dedicated to a hedonistic lifestyle, into enjoying the pleasures in the sexual area, in the food area, in the eating area. And then in terms of speech, the Torah doesn't prohibit speaking divrei nevola, at least strictly they don't find it in the Torah. The Ramban says, yedaber kirtzono, let him speak the way he wants to. Bechol ha-nevolos, free. All the profanities. Shalohuzkar Easter Zebetorah, after all, what can you point to some passage, some verse in the Torah, say, look, you violated this verse? And at the end of the day, after living this kind of lifestyle, as it was tiptoeing through the tubes and avoiding stepping over the line and violating any explicit law in the Torah, any prohibition in the Torah, Hine Yeh, we can describe his state of being as a Novel Birshus HaTorah, the famous phrase that the Ramban coins. He's within the letter of the law. He's in the Rishus HaTorah. He hasn't violated the province of the Torah. But yet he's a novel. He's a lowlife. He's living a brute existence, unredeemed. No sensitivity. No spiritual ascension. It's anything but a pure life. And therefore says the Rabban, Lefichach Bar Kosuf, Acharei Shepirei Ta'isurim Sha'asar Osom Lagamrei. Now the Torah says, okay, here are the strict prohibitions. You're not allowed to violate them. They're severe. But now, the Torah is going to give you, after that, a mitzvah, a positive command, b'dover kloli, sh'niyah prushim and amosaros, avoid overindulgence in all that is strictly allowed. So again, we see that the concept of kedusha, the way that the Jewish people are meant to live, is not a question of violating isurim, avoiding the violation of isurim. We're talking about something that technically, fundamentally, is not a violation of the Isurim, yet there's a positive command. When we look at Rashi on Bechukoseim Lo Seilechu, back in Parshas Akrimos, he says, Mahi niyech ha-kosev shlo omar, after all, the Torah has already given us laws, a long list of prohibitions in the area of Arayas, in the area of Macholos Asuro. So what's left over here? Bechukoseim Lo Teilechu. Ela elu nimusos shalhem. This is referring to the culture of the Goyim. The culture of tetatros, etzidionos, Dvarim hachukim lahem. You know, this is part of their way of life, their culture. They want to dedicate themselves to sports arenas, to fighting against the gladiators and the coliseums and the public places. And the Torah here in Parshas Kedushim says, "Lo selchu b'chukas hagoyim." Take a look, if you can, at the Sfas Emes. There are two comments of the Sfas Emes on 2 years. One was in Tuf Reish Lamed Hey, the other was in Tuf Reish Lamed Tes. In the first one, he says, "Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Kemasei Eretz Kenan, Lo Sasu." He says, "Kosher, what's going on over here? Ima chavin a pasuk with the intent of the pasuk, the substance of this prohibition is all rayos. After all, mefurashim, they're explicitly spelled out. Lo matolo samakosu ma'isa mitzrayim ma'isa kenan. Avol nira, and here's the breakthrough of the Sfas Emes, ki amachuvan, what the Torah is trying to convey to us, is that b'chol amasim lo naso sam kemosha osim oso." Oh, some the Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Canaan. Bechol HaMaisim, I emphasize. He's saying that this is a statute, this is a moral principle that reflects every single action, every behavior, every encounter, every experience that we have. Bechol HaMaisim, we should not imitate Eretz Mitzrayim and Canaan. What does that mean, Bechol HaMaisim? How can it be that every action that I do, no matter how mundane and secular it is, I'm not a novel b'shus HaTorah. I haven't overstepped my bounds in overindulgence. But yet every single mass has to be different. It has to be done Jewishly and not goyishly. What does that mean? Take a look in Tuf Reish Lamed Tes. Again, quotes the pasuk, "Ki ma'is eretz Mitzrayim lo tas." Ki kvar hayu b'nei Yisrael eidah kedosha. We know that B'nai Yisrael are already separated from the nations. They are a sanctified nation. They received the Torah. And the Torah says that you are Kedoshim, you're Am Segula. Mashayach Lazhirom now, what is this juncture here? That the Torah warns them, enjoins them, Milasos, to imitate these Chotim of the other nations, the immoral nations of Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Canaan. What's the substance? What's the message here that the Torah wants to convey? Says this Fasemus al Pirush, Shaloya Nidma Bishum Maisa, Ish Yisraeli Maisa Shal Roshoyim Eilu. Our actions, every last one of them, have to be unique and different in contrast to the Maisim of these evildoers. Why Asher Kol Maaseim Legashmius Bilvad? What is the focal point? What is the goal? What is the orientation of every single act of these nations of Eretz Canaan, of Eretz Mitzrayim? It's all part of the physical world. A world in which man is part of the animal kingdom. Aval B'nai Yisrael says, Sfas Emes, the beautiful poetry and formulation of Sfas Emes, Tzrichim L'kadesh es kol ha-maisim. Every single act has to be elevated to the level of Kedusha. Lad bikom b'shoresh achius. Every action is an opportunity, a means to reconnect and strengthen our dveikus in the source above of chius, that chelik elyon kadosh, that makom kadosh that every single one of us has in the higher realms. So that by reconnecting to that chius, likach mem chius, we can take with us a certain spiritual divine life force and intensify. If every single action contains within it the potential to motivate us to enter into that action and implement it for the tachlis, for the specific purpose of following a halicha down a path of avodas habori, to dedicate our energies and our actions to serve Hashem, that means that even pshutei b'nei Yisrael, this is an opportunity for every single rank and file member of Klal Yisrael. We're not talking about the scholars and the geniuses and those who are tzaddikim gemurim, but every rank and file citizen in B'nai Yisrael. Mechavnim, they can inject a certain kavod, a certain intention into every action. For example, he says, Lechol v'lishtos, why are they eating and drinking? Kedei lahosif koach b'avodas habori, to strengthen themselves. And now they have more energy, they're healthy, they can dedicate themselves to serve Hashem, the Creator. This is all considered lo leches. This is ultimately what kedoshim to you means. That every action has the potential of being done and implemented l'shem shamayim. L'shem shamayim changes the nature of the action, and we become kedoshim. We become inspired and elevated by sanctity through every single action. We connect to the shorish, to the root of our life, of our spiritual root of life, and therefore we are elevated. The Ibn Ezra in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, in the Parsha of the Ben Sora Morer, speaks about the fact that a Ben Sora Morer, because of his tivus, because he's a Zolel boss of a Sova, he's Marbalishtos, he gets drunk. All his bakasha, all his longing in life is that for physical enjoyment and pleasure. Hine hukmo apikoris. Wow. He has the status of like an apikoris. Because what's the difference between a believer and apikoris? An apikoris believes in this world. This world is an end unto itself. Lo yivakesh chayi olam haba. All he's interested in is kiyum olam hazeh. Hatainug, meaning maichal u'mishta. So in a sense, you could say that the Zolel v'sove, this Ben Sora Morer, is the epitome, he personifies and symbolizes he who is completely cut off from the next world. He's totally orangutan, he's totally obsessed and involved in this world and its pleasures. And here I want to share with you a piece from Rabbi Yerucham, the great Mashgiach in the Mir, a Talmud of the Kelmer movement, from the Alta from Kelm, in the Das Torah on Parshas Achrimos. He quotes the Noda B'Yehuda, a very interesting shaila that was asked to the Noda B'Yehuda. There was a wealthy Jew who wanted to know if there's any prohibition. Let me read to you the language. Al ish echad asher zecheru Hashem benach l'rechova. He was very wealthy. He's living a laid-back existence, plenty of leisure time. Yesh lo kfarim v'ya'aros. Imagine he owns villages and forests. And in these forests, tirmos kol chaisa yar, there are all sorts of beasts of the jungle that roam his forest freely. Ha'imutalo lelech bi'atzmo liros bekhanes reifa lotzu tzayit. Can he dedicate himself, his time, to be a hunter and track down these animals, trap them like a hunter? Is there any iser in such a thing? What prohibition is involved? Is it tzar bali chayim? Is it baltashkes? And then the Yehuda has a whole pilpul in the halachic angles of whether this does constitute a violation of tzar bali chayim. Is there baltashkes? And he can find different ways of using the skins of the animal, etc., etc. But he says, beyond halacha, meta halacha, he says, omnam, says Nodim Yehuda, one of the great Ashkenazic minds of the last 3 centuries, tamua ma'odani, al guf adover. I don't understand the phenomenon. I don't understand the desire. I don't understand what underlies your question. Lo matzinu ish tzayid. You know where we found a hunter? Rak benimrod ubeisav. The paradigms of a hunter were Nimrod and Esav. And frankly speaking, are both, I don't know who's worse. I mean, these are both individuals that personify pure evil. You know, Nimrod is like a Hitler figure, and Esav is Esav a Russia. These were the hunters. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, "Ein ze darkei bnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov." It's not the way, the path, the road that a Jew would take. He's the children of the Avos to imitate Nimrod and Esav. Lachain Hashomel Yishkon Betach Hashkeit Veshanan Bebeisav Lo Yaabed Zmano Bedvar Melu. And Rabbi Yerucham, when he after quoting the Noda B'Yehuda's response and his attitude towards hunters, he applies this in a broader way. He says, let's really contrast the Jew and the non-Jew. Let's go tell a guy that that hunting animals is equivalent to ibud zman. You're taking your precious time and you're literally ripping apart, you're destroying. He'll look at you mishtaivim like you're off, you know, what mountain did you fall off? Lo mevin kol adibros. He doesn't understand what ibud zman is. What do you mean ibud zman? If I enjoy hunting, if that's my pleasure in life, to find these animals and kill them and then take the heads and make stuff, whatever, out of it. He says, imulai yelo eisa sagabis, or maybe you can find a guy who has some shmek, some smell of understanding, something that's illegal. But to hit him with that argument, minias hatseidu mitzad inyan ibud zman, because it's simply a waste of time. What does a guy look for with his free time? If he has free time, it's for leisure, it's for sports, it's for pleasure. And if hunting is pleasurable, that's certainly what he wants. I mean, what, are you undermining my whole existence? He's asking, what, are you crazy? Says Rabbi Yerucham, what we see from this is the difference between a Jewish and non-Jewish mentality, lahavdil. He says, Hine lanuk tzir shalamaisa sher olav al atzmo tucha lodunim yesh bo isur malav. He says, you could take a look at the action, and you can look at it this way, and from all different perspectives, like a prism, and come to the conclusion, decide whether there's a violation of any isur. But that's not the issue. There's something much more fundamentally about what it means to be a Jew. Ha'alicha l'maisa kazeh. Just the very fact that you want to go on this path and dedicate your time to tzedah, to trapping down animals, that itself is tarifus. That itself is totally antithetical to what it means to be a Jew, to means to be someone who aspires for sanctity, for olam haba. He says, Zos, that kind of attitude, if I just want to spend my time hunting down animals, is atzmi yishol goy. That's exactly what it means to be a goy. It means minimuso shalahem. What are their cultural pleasures? You know, it's like in Spain, you know, you go to a bullfight. It's absolutely disgusting. And then they let the bull go wild in the streets. I mean, this is crazy. And in America, they have these racing, you know, racing cars and races. I mean, people get, it's terrible. And then I'm not even going to talk to you about different forms of boxing and all sorts of pleasures that people go to. And people go to watch hockey games on ice. And they're waiting to see the fight when they kill each other and pull the jerseys over their heads. We want blood, right? This is what a guy is all about. Pleasures in which he jumps off a mountain and tries to save himself on his way down. And a Jew is not interested in asking the study halacha. He's interested in gufo shel maisa. He wants to really, really ask himself, what is the nature of the action? Do we want to waste that time, that precious time, by going to mischakim, tanugim, teatros, it's tadios? Again, if there's something uplifting, something redeeming, that's one thing. But just to waste away our time, that's what it means to be a guy. Yisrael bi'atzmuso, says Rabbi Yerucham, ein lo kol chibur v'shaychus. He has no connection to these activities that are purely empty and waste of time. That is chukas uvas olam. For whose harnu he concludes by saying, we have been enjoying b'chukosem lo teilechu. But it's not just the b'chukosem lo teilechu. You can give a 5-hour lecture on b'chukosem lo teilechu and halach and all its minutia, when it applies, when it doesn't. But what we're asking for is a much more fundamental question of hashkaf about what life is all about, what these actions that are being pursued by the goyim, why would we want to imitate them? Are we completely uprooted from the Jewish way? Are we not dedicated to being kedoshim to you? And therefore we understand very well how this Fasema says, b'chukosem lo teilechu, doesn't refer to all the many details enumerated by the Torah in the parashas of Arayis and Machalos Asuros, but rather it refers to every single maisa of an ish Yisraeli. That every maisa should be done in a way that it uplifts us and inspires us to higher and higher levels of kedusha miyalabar Hashem tzrich lekadesh kol ha-maisim. Says as faseves lad bikam, to take every maisa and attach it to the shorash achius, to a spiritual divine source of life and energy. And therefore, we can begin to perhaps address a very fundamental question. How do we justify our very existence in this world? What I mean to say is that the Gemara records in Masech Erev and on Daf Yud Gimel on Mibbeis a machlokas that took place over the course of 2.5 years in the academies of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where the Noach lo li Adam shenivra, Yosef mishlo nivra, Or Noach lo liyadam shalom nivra, misha nivra. What would have been better? Would be better off if we were never born, or Baruch Hashem we were born. And the final conclusion after 2.5 years, Nimnu v'gamru, they actually voted on this. It was such a critical controversy and issue. Noach lo liyadam shalom nivra, yosef misha nivra. It's better if a person wasn't born than if he's born. But Akshav Shenivra, Yifash Beish Bemais, now that he's born, he should check out his actions. I want to study with you the kashas and the yisod of the Atzei Chaim and Parshas Emor on this, in his analysis of this Gemara in Erev. First of all, he asks, what's Nimnu v'gamru? What, they got up and they stood and they voted? I mean, what is it, a democratic vote on some sort of theological or philosophical issue? And then, how do we understand Noach lo la'odav shenivra, that it's great that God created me? You know, but, you know, I'm not sure. You know, there are so many trials and tribulations in life. Man struts and frets his hour upon the stage. And also, according to the Man Yomer, who says Noach shalom nivra, he says, so, if Noach lo la'odav shalom nivra, why was he born? I mean, God is the source of good. The desire of the divine is to bestow goodness, so why were we created? And also the end of the Gemara, Achshav Shenivra Yifash Mish B'Masav, well, what does that have to do with this whole discussion? They're having a theological question and issue. They're debating this in the academy, the walls of the academies of Beis Shammai Beis Sil for 2.5 years, and the answer is Yifash Mish B'Masav. That's nice Musa Shmuz. But why is it here? What's its relevance? And now the Atzei Chaim presents a thesis. And he bases his thesis on an analysis of a very famous Haggadah in Shabbos Daf Pei Tes, where the Gemara records an entire issue that took place with regard to Bnei Yisrael sinning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to let out his wrath against the people of Israel, and he comes to ask the Avos one by one, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if there's anything that they can say or do on behalf, on defense of Klal Yisrael. After all, Banecha Chatu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham and he says, Banecha Chatu. What can you say? What sanigoria and defense can you put forth on their behalf? Let's take a look at the Gemara inside and read it. Gemara is darshaning a pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Gimel. Ki ato avinu. And then it says, Ki Avram lo yadanu v'Yisrael lo yakirenu, ata avinu go'alenu me'olam, shimcha li asid lava. Now, take a look. It says here that Avram lo yadanu, Avram doesn't know us, so to speak. Yisrael, which is a reference to Yaakov avinu, lo yakirenu, he doesn't recognize us. So when the pasuk starts with Ki ata avinu, then by process of elimination, we know this is Yitzchak. Yitzchak is our father in this context. He's the Goalenu Me'olam. He's the one who's going to save us, Liyasid Lava. That's the pasuk in Yeshaya on a simple level. Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmena Rab Yonasan. What is this all about? My Ditziv, what's the meaning of this pasuk? And he says the following, Yomar Lo HaKadosh, Liyasid Lava, Yomar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Avraham Avinu, Banecha Chatuli. Your sons, your descendants, Avram, have sinned against me. What can you do? What can you say? Can you defend them? Omar lefanov. And look at Avram's response. He, so to speak, throws up his hands in the air. Ribono shel olam, yimachu al kedusha shemecha. Maybe the best that we could hope is that they somehow are killed on Kiddush Hashem. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yaakov Avinu, and the results are not much better. Omar lo b'sabi, time of lo b'darkei yetzer. HaKadosh Baruch says, you know, I haven't done well with the Saba, with the grandfather that's Avram, nor with the children, meaning the grandchildren, in this case, Yaakov. Omar lo Yitzchak, let's try Yitzchak out. Banecha chatuli, your sons have sinned against me. And look at Yitzchak's response. Omar lefanav, Ribono shelolam, Bonai? You can say Bonecha. You're saying they're my sons, says Yitzchak. You mean, God, you're telling me they're my sons? V'lo Bonecha, but they're not your sons? B'shashek dimu lefanecha nasev v'nishma. Remember the great moment when they reached that majestic, beautiful level, and they said, Nasa v'nishma karaslam b'ni b'chori, you yourself, God, have acclaimed and acknowledged that these descendants of mine are your children, they're your b'char, and actually now when they go down the tubes because they're violating your will, therefore b'nai v'lo b'necha. The Odin, furthermore, here's the punchline. Kamachatu, let's try to evaluate how much of, let's say an average lifespan is 70 years, how much of that 70 year period did each Jew sin, if we isolate each individual Jew? So let's start. Kamash Nosajon Shivim Shadow will start with the assumption that a man lives for 70 years. So you can't tell me that his 70 years were dedicated 70 years of sin. Dal Esrim, just remove 20 years up front, just shave it off the top of the 20 years. Delo Onshim Lahu, because there's no punishment for the first 20 years. Rashi says she came out Sinu Bidar Midbar. Shalonash Hakadosh Baruch Hu Michaf Shana Lamal Dechsiva Midbar Azay Yiplu Pigrechem Mi Ben Esrim Shana Vamala. That following the great sin of the Egel in Parshas Bishalach, Hashem says those who are 20 years and up will die. I'm not going to punish those who are babies, who are less than 20. They're not mature enough. So 20 out of the 70 years are not subject to punishment. Okay, now, so what are we left with? 50 years. Says Yitzchak, Poshule Chamshin, you're left with 50. Dal Chafe, let's subtract 25 out of the 50. Delay Lusa of the nights, because at night they're not sinning, they're sleeping. So they're only awake half of their lives. And half the lives that they're liable for, culpable, is half of 50. So you're already down to 25 years out of a life of 70. Poshule chafei, you're left for 25 years. Dal tartisrei upalga ditzluye. He says half of those 25 years worth of their life, which could be subject to liability and punishment, are dedicated to davening, to eating, to addressing their biological needs. They're doing actions that are either good or at least, or at the very least, they're neutral, if they're not positive. So you're down to 12 and a half years out of a 50 year life. Slule, Mechel, Besakise, they take care of their biological needs. Poshle, Tati, Srei, Upalga. So what are you left with? 12 and a half. So you know what, from this 12 and a half, imata sovel es kulam, if you're willing to tolerate 12 and a half years of evil, muta, that's great, so save my aunt, my descendants. In lav, you know what, palgo layu palgo lech, let me take half of that, half of the 12 and a half onto my shoulders, and let me, so to speak, replace them and save them. The imtim tzalom akulam alai, and you know what, even if you'll say, let me take the punishment for all the 12 and a half, I deserve to be meritorious and do so, ha kravis nafshi kamach. I was makriv, I sacrificed my life to you. For that sacrifice of my life, I deserve to take the burden off the shoulders of Klal Yisrael, of those 12 and a half years of existence, of sin. The Amru, and they responded, ki ata avinu, Yitzchak, you have saved us. And the Gemara goes on and on. Etc. Now, the Atzei Chaim builds a lot on this Agadata. He says, "Kol ikar hamalitza liYisrael bazeh, b'meshe nasa achesben al deYitzchak avinu asher shnosav mu'atim heima, v'rak tartei srei shonim v'chol shara shonim." So the protection and the defense argument that Yitzchak is putting forth is that life is very short, and according to the Cheshbon of Yitzchak Avinu, with what you're left with is possibly maximum 12 and a half years of sin, but most of the other years are dedicated to either sleeping or other activities during the daytime, which are simply parva in yoni olam hazeh asher lo yechtu beheino. There is no sin. So life is basically made up of the potentially evil years of 12 and a half years, but many, many years of, shall we say, parva. in Cain, but it turns out that the years that a parva, that a man is just simply attending his biological needs of sleeping and eating and etc., and that takes up such a chunk, a major part of his life, is rov shnoseyem behevel kolu. Most of man's life is not justified. It's hevel, it's vanity. You know, man wasn't brought here just to take care of his biological needs. In that sense, we have the animal kingdom. So even if man during most of his years is not sinning, but he's not justifying his existence, matzorach b'hem, so who needs man? And therefore, gam'im lo nivra ha'adam, even if man had not been created, v'gam'kein lo chatu, is al'kein nimnu v'gamru, what does it mean, Nimru v'gamru, the Tovlo Shlo Nimru? It doesn't mean they took a vote the way we understood it. This was Sanhedrin getting up in Amidah L'minyan, they raised hands to see who's in favor, who's against. No. Nimru v'gamru means they took a good look at the many years of man, and they came to the conclusion that most of men's years are dedicated to hevel, to vanities. So even if man doesn't sin, but who needs them? Man hasn't justified his existence. And therefore, it would be better that man didn't live. So what would be terrible if man didn't live? What have we lost over here? We've lost a life that's dedicated to vanities? Gamim lo nivra adam, there would be no great loss. Even if we think that man would not sin, but so what? That's only a small fraction of his life that wasn't sin. Because most of it, well, I guess you could say it this way, that most of his life he doesn't sin because he's dedicating himself to physical needs, to his biological needs. So therefore, what most of the years on this earth are totally not justified. It's tovo shlo nivra. Ah. But what does the other man, the Omar, hold? He comes up with a different thesis. No. Tovo liyolam shenivra. Says the Atzeh Chaim, the answer lies in a very, very famous and fundamental psak halacha, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch formulates the principle shekol kavanoso yil l'shem shemayim b'chol ma sheyisne ba'olam hazeh lo yechavin lanoso lavadus haborei k'nitzid b'chol drachecha da'il. Every single pleasure, every single activity in this world that's physical and worldly in nature, if man could be mechavin l'shem shamayim, if he takes that mundane secular action and ejects into it the proper motivation and the intention, and he wants to strengthen his body in order to serve Hashem, he wants to enjoy this world in order to know God, to see the beauty of this world, and comprehending it, he's overwhelmed by a love for Hashem, as the Rambam says at the beginning of Yisodei Torah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch codifies as the main mandate, the main responsibility that we have. That every single action has within it the potential for avodas haborei, bechol drachecha da'il. In every way we go, we should know God. And that would elevate us to a whole nother level. This is the idea of lo selchu b'chukas ha-goyim that we saw in the Sfas Emes, that every action of ours, not in contrast to the goyim, should not be dedicated to gashmius, but b'chol davar tzarech ben Yisrael akadish es ma'isav lahadbik b'shorish k'yuso, etc., etc. This is the whole concept of kedusha. Says the Atzichaim lefizei shlomar, shegam b'palga d'leila, even though half our lives are dedicated to sleep at night, and even when we're awake, so many chunks of our life, such a major proportion of life, is be'esko v'lamazeh, is involved in our biological needs. But nevertheless, Kevan, if he lives up to the dictum, the mandate of the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Lamed Aleph, the kavanasa ben l'shem shamayim is gam kein mitzvah kavim. He transforms sleep and food and eating and all his other biological endeavors and needs to a mitzvah. Everything becomes a mitzvah. Ah, now let's go back to the drawing board and make the calculation. If all these activities and involvements are now calculated as mitzvah, because even though most of his years are dedicated to physical needs and fulfillment of all that he needs to do in this world, Tavanu l'shem shamayim. B'inyani olam hazeh nechshav ki'ilu gam zeh mitzvah ka'avid. This is also elevated and given the status of a mitzvah. And therefore, it's a whole different calculation. And that's why the Gemara adds this statement, Akshav shenivar yifash mishmamasov. What is the? It's not just the Musar Shmuz. He's telling you how to justify your own existence. Ratzalomar, b'masov, shel inyonei ha'odam asher osa l'tzorech b'hem l'inyonei olam hazeh yifashvish b'hem. Take a good look at all those myriad of activities that you're involved in for physical protection and health. To take care of your biological needs, yifashvish b'hem, look at them carefully under a microscope, meticulously. V'yimtzan, he'll see within it the potential for a kavanah l'shem shamayim, and then yetov lo shenivra. Even according to the Man D'Yomer, who says tov lo shelo nivra, that's only because most of his life is hevel v'rik, it has no justification to it. But if he'll be mefashish b'masov and he'll be able to inject kavanah l'shem shamayim into every single mundane action and convert it to a mitzvah by elevating every physical action to a mitzvah act. Kevod Shenivri lives in this biological world. Yei Tov Lo Shenivri. He can justify his existence. L'chein Yifashu Shen Kavona L'Hashem V'Yidei Zeh Tov Shenivra Mishalo Nivra. What a beautiful presentation. Gorgeous. Of the Atzei Achayim. And so if we put this all together with the Rabban and the Sfas Emes and with Rabbi Yerucham about the nature of an action as, in a Jewish perspective as opposed to a Goy, and how our every moment is precious because it has and contains the potential of upgrading our actions as secular mundane as there are to a status of a mitzvah, injecting them a mitzvah element through Kavanah L'Shem Shamayim. If that be the case, we begin to understand what the Torah means when it says V'shamartem es chukosai. What it means is that we should avoid chukoseyem, the chukos hagoyim. And ushmartem es chukosai means to take those actions, all those in yoni olam haba, and redirect them l'shem shamayim. And then the Torah continues and says, asher yasa osam ha'adam, every single action of man, and then v'chaybahem. It means he could justify his existence v'chaybahem, and now it's tov lo shenivra. Why? Because ushmartem es chukosai, you look carefully at every single action and its potential. You prevented yourself from imitating the goyim and wasting those actions on inyoni olam hazeh. You injected the motivation and the intention l'shem shamayim, asher yasa osa ha'odom l'shem shamayim, and then v'chai b'hem. Then he deserves to live. Now we can recalculate the 70 years of his life and come to the conclusion that most of them were dedicated not just to hevel v'rik, but to dvarim shel chiyus, to something that's madbik b'shoresh Hakdusha Likach Bahem. If you remember the language of the Sfas Emes, Likach Bahem Chiyus, that's the V'chai Bahem in this parasha. That's the potential of man if only he will utilize and maximize every opportunity and then justify his existence V'chai Bahem Tov Lo Shenivra. And I just want to conclude, because not long ago we opened our Seder night with Holach Ma'anya. And there's a beautiful insight of the Satmar Rav in his Haggadah Shel Pesach Berech Moshe. Why is it, he says, that we open up with Holach Ma'anya, describing the matzah as the matzah that was eaten by our forefathers in Eretz Mitzrayim, and then immediately we change topic and we're off course. Instead of discussing matzah, Hashtahach L'shana Babi Arad Yisrael, we speak about next year we want to be in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. Hashta Avni, now we are slaves in the Golus, Lashana Abba B'nei Chori. What's the kesher, what's the connection between the Reish and the Sefer? And the answer, he says, is that we have to understand what Lachma Anya means, Lechem Oni means. And he bases himself on the fact that the Achil of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael was just a matter of saving them, of keeping them going. It was just basically for the goof, for the body. In fact, on the pasuk Zacharnos Hadog Asher Achalnu B'Mitzrayim Chinom, Rashi says Chinom in a mitzvah. What we ate in Eretz Yisrael didn't have a mitzvah content to it. That's called lechem oni, because what does the word oni mean? Chazal tells us ein oni el bedas. The concept of anius here, in this concept of lechem oni, is a concept of anius, of poverty in a spiritual sense, in a symbolic sense. Psychologically, we are aniyim. And this is the Gemara Nedarim Mem Aleph, ein oni el bedas, because our achila was not connected at all to any mitzvahs, it was chinam. Says the Rebbe, however, zos, mudas, zos, we have to understand, ki tzorich ha'odom lechavein gam b'achiloso, in the perfect ideal world, not in the lechem oni of Mitzrayim, in our everyday existence and eating, when we sit down to eat a meal, we have to be mechavein l'shem shamayim kdei l'chazei gufal avodas Hashem, and again invoking the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Lamed Aleph. In Eretz Mitzrayim, that was impossible. We were aniyim b'das, that was the lechem oni, and that's what we point to on the table. But avira d'Eretz Yisrael machkim. The Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Nun Ches says that somehow the breath and the air of Eretz Yisrael, that atmosphere, is machkim, which literally means it penetrates, it expands our wisdom. However, he says, the Rebbe, that it means something much more profound. We're not talking about intellectual wisdom. We're talking about the capacity of man to reach dveikus in the Ribono Shel Olam. In Eretz Yisrael, there's something in the atmosphere that lends itself to easily be mechavein l'shem shemayim in all our actions. We are surrounded by an ambience of shechina, of kedusha, and therefore it's almost natural for us, almost a kind of lifestyle where achila and everything else that's physical and mundane could be l'shem shemayim. And therefore the Baal HaGadol in his opening line says, hashta hocha, now we're in chutz laretz, and we need tremendous work and toil and effort l'chavin shem shemayim, because b'yoseinu al adma t'meya, in the tomb of chutz laretz, influenced by that, it's very hard to take all these actions that are mundane, where the culture that we live in dedicates those actions for purely secular and hedonistic purposes, and now we have to put and inject into the l'shem shemayim. That's a terribly difficult climb. That's going against the grain, going against the flow and the traffic, and then it's like climbing Mount Everest. Ah, Volshana above the Arad Yisrael. Next year we'll be in Arad Yisrael. Next year, Mirtz Hashem will experience Avir Deretzel Machkim. We'll be able to be Mechavein B'Nekel. It'll be easy, relatively easy, to take every single action that we do, that we perform, that we implement in Eretz Yisrael, and inject it into a L'Shem Shemayim Kavon into it. And therefore, Hashta Avdi, now in Chutz Laretz, we sort of bend down under the onus, the burden, the weight of shibud hachomer ha'ochor v'agufni, the weight and the burden of physicality. We live a physical life surrounded, by, as it were, by the culture of the goyim. Whereas we said before, the culture of the goyim is to get involved in all tanugei and mischakei olam hazeh. That's the admas tmeo that's influencing us. And therefore we end up as avdi, with servants and slaves to that mentality, to that kind of moral existence. But l'shana above nechorim, next year we'll be free of this shimud. V'sham, and there in Aradi Yisrael, machkim, b'nekel will be a cinch. V'nuchal l'chavim gam b'tzarchi aguf l'shem shomayim. And when the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash, it means that we can take the Zavas Chol, the Chol V'Dvash of Eretz Yisrael, the beauty and the pleasures of eating in Eretz Yisrael, and all the great fruits that grow, the beautiful fruits and the melons, and we can be mechavein l'shem shamayim. We can convert every single action, no matter how secular it is, upgrade and transform it to a mitzvah. We can justify our very existence, because most of our years here in Eretz Yisrael are dedicated to mitzvahs. And therefore, through this process of Yefashish B'Masel, we'll reach the level of Noach Li'odom Shenivra. We'll be Zoche to see this, not next year, but this year, in Arad Yisrael, Ken Yeratzon. Amen.